Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Mark with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 53, ending in verse 72, where we see that there were many physical and spiritual trials leading up to Jesus dying on the cross. In today's text, we dive into all the details leading up to the cross, and we see the various trials that he had to endure so that we could spend eternity with him. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Mark chapter 14, verse 53.
Because to the Jews, these animals were unclean, and they were not to be in the temple precincts at all. So this was like a little angelic rooster bobbing his way through the palace place, letting out that cock-a-doodle do. And the Lord is so gracious to make a way in our lives. I just want to slow our pace for a minute. The Lord is so gracious in our following of him. He just is. To let the rooster crow, cock-a-doodle-do. When we're starting to make a step in the wrong direction. I mean, I believe with all of my heart, Jesus will not let you sin successfully without warnings taking place. Somebody being there when you go to that gas station from Bible study. Somebody calling you. I mean, Larry, I don't know if you remember years ago, I was battling something, and I didn't open up to anybody, but I was just battling through. So I had to battle something. I didn't fall, but I was battling against a temptation, a sin. And I didn't even think it was a sin or temptation. That's the problem when you have too much self-confidence in a certain thing, and then the Lord allows a blind spot to get exposed. And that's what it was for me at the time. And I don't know if you remember, this was years ago when I first took over as senior pastor. And you called me in the thick of it and you said, hey, is everything okay? And I said, I think so. And you said, I'm sitting here at home or wherever. And you said, your family's picture just froze on my computer screen and I can't get it off the screen. So I can't get you off my heart. I'm just praying for you. And that was that shot in the arm I needed. Like, God cares, God loves me. Not only is, like, God warning me, like, I'm warning you, but God's saying, you're better than this. I've purchased you with my blood. My purposes and my plans for life are so much higher and grander and greater than what this will lead to. I mean, that was it. That was what I needed, and that gave me victory. Like, when the rooster crows, it's not just God trying to be a Debbie Downer in your life. It's not just God trying to be a buzzkill. It is the Lord saying to you, stop where you are. You've warmed yourself long enough at the fire. You've already stood in the council of the ungodly. You're way more frail and weaker than you think you are mentally. You've took in what your lady friends at work said, what your buddies on the construction site or in the gym said. You sat on it too long. It's starting to drip to your heart. And if it drips to your heart, well, the heart will then make a convert of the mind. It will come back up and convert your mind. And it's going to be disastrous. And the Lord will let a rooster crow. He'll let you hear. Me and Shauna talk about this all the time. He'll let you hear 30 seconds of a radio broadcast. And it's the 30 seconds you needed to hear. You'll turn on Scott Gallatin or whoever's on at 5:30, driving home from work. And the 30 seconds you got to hear was exactly what you needed to hear. Happened to me last night. My kids are on all these fields right now doing all these tryouts, and I'm bouncing around from field to field. I had like a 30-second drive, literally, a 30-second drive. I go in the car. I turn on the radio. The pastor's telling, he's midway explaining a verse. I'm not even quite sure which verse it was. His application was verbatim what I needed to hear. It's a rooster crowing. It's God speaking to us. It's God speaking to us. He's speaking through these agents. He could speak through a donkey. May he help us to let him speak to a donkey, right? Like, I mean, that's my prayer. God, I want to be sensitive to you. I don't want to lead you. I want you to lead me. And in the leading, Lord, I want it to be very close, the gap. I don't want there to be a big gap. And when the rooster crows, for goodness sakes, does anybody here wonder what was Peter thinking when that rooster crowed? I want to know what Peter was thinking. I wish that we could know what Peter was thinking. But you know how it is, man, when you're surrounded in a hostile territory with anti-Jesus people. It's hard. We better be on our knees for our young people this upcoming school year. I mean, they are up against the unimaginable with the curriculum and the agendas of the schools. We better be on our knees, right, for our spouses. We better be on our knees for our community. Please be on your knees for me and the pastoral staff, this church. We are up against the unimaginable. They want to shut us down again. And I don't, it won't be good. We don't do well when we're not together. So we are up against principalities and powers of dark places, and we need the Holy Spirit to lead us and speak to us and guide us. We need him to. And when he does, we can't poo-poo it. It is so dangerous to just stifle it, that rooster crowing. We've got to heed to that still small voice. A shout out to Peter for following Jesus. I am not down on him for this. This is life, though, for you and I in our pursuit of the King. The rooster's going to crow. We're not always going to do it all right. So when he crows, let him crow and let it resound in your mind. Let it haunt you. And a maid saw him again. 69 here it says, and he began, she says, because she's like, wait a minute. No, I know you. That's what she's doing here. She's bringing in witnesses. I know, guys, come here. Look, I know I'm young, and I know you probably don't care what I have to say, but I'm telling you, she says to the crowd now, she's drawing attention to Peter. She says to the crowd, I'm telling you, this is one of them. This is one of them. And then it tells us here in verse 70 that he denied it again, and there's progression here. There's progression here. There's this downward spiral. Down he's going, down he's going, man. Can I tell you something? Can I give you a nugget here? The Christian life, let me be so clear. The Christian life cannot be lived out by determination. Okay, are you here tonight and you're real determined that you're going to walk with God? Ain't going to be enough. The Christian life cannot be lived out by self-confidence, certainly. We are weaker than we think we are. Paul said, if you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. It is only by the grace of God that there doesn't go I. That's why none of us should be heavy on the judging thing. Let mercy triumph over judgment. Because seriously, in a moment of weakness, when temptation meets that, and opportunity come together, we are capable and liable of doing the most despicable things. I promise you. I give you my word before God Almighty tonight. I don't care what precedes your name, pastor, bishop, elder. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We are all men and women of like passions. And we have an adversary. It's real. Please hear me. It's real. It's so real. And in this process of following Jesus, you will frustrate yourself if you think, okay, I'm at midweek tonight. I'm going to be determined. I'm going to go back to the workplace tomorrow, and I'm going to live for God. I'm determined. I have confidence. There's this purposing. Watch this one. I'm going to take it deeper. Your love for God is not enough to keep you. I can't trump that one. You are here tonight, and you're being like, I just love Jesus, man. Pastors explain how he got beat and what he endured for me and the following after. I just love him. I love him. I'm so thankful for what he's done, my eternal life. Your love for Jesus is not enough to keep you in the Christian life. My love for Jesus, my knowledge of his word, it's not enough to keep you. The only thing, and that's the wrong usage of words there, but the only one that can keep you in this path of following Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's what you and I have to understand. And that's what's going to be the game changer for Peter, is when the Holy Spirit has a hold on Peter's life in such a measure that he's not his own man anymore. It's frustration to try to do the work of God without the God of the work. You can't. And Peter here, he's determined. He was self-confident. He was sure of it. Man, Lord, if everyone leaves you, if everyone fails you, God, I mean, and he was trying to follow God, but you know how it goes. You're trying to follow the Lord. The wrong people get around. Sinners get around. I still buckle. I was around a bunch of coaches tonight for my son's baseball team. Guys I grew up with that were my cousin's age that are six, seven, eight, 9 years older than me, guys I looked up to, guys that taught me how to sin as a teenager, guys that aren't saved. And I was around a group of them. I was outnumbered. My brother was there for a minute. He left, so it's his fault. Should he have stayed, I would have probably done better. But something was said that I didn't sin or falter, but something was said that if I were a little bit more bold, I would have corrected what was said, not gone along with what was said. And I walked to my truck thinking, I am still such a weak piece of garbage. But filled with the Holy Ghost. But I'm leaky. I have to be being filled with the Spirit of God. My filling from Sunday isn't good for Wednesday. My filling from yesterday isn't good for tonight. My filling to preach to you right now won't carry me through at midnight tonight. I have to constantly be being filled with the Spirit of the living God. Second time, he denies him. What did Jesus say? Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. No, Lord. You're really upsetting me, actually. Don't say it again, Jesus. I'm serious. And then he chops Malchus's ear off. He was serious. You're serious. I'm serious. But our seriousness isn't enough. That lets me breathe. I'm not like, oh man, this is heavy. I'm like this. Huh. The onus ain't on me. It's his keeping power. It's his preserving power. Michael, you prayed it. It's him. He keeps us. He preserves us. He puts the will in our hearts to do of his good pleasure. We hide his word in our heart. We get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the victory. It's all Jesus. It's his word, his spirit. And it sets me free. Amen? He falters, though. He goes down here. It says he denies again. And then a little after, we don't know the time frame, verse 70, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely you are one of them. It's a fact. You are Galilean. It's like if somebody from Georgia were here tonight. Right? They don't call it pop. They call it soda. They got a little twang. Or if we go somewhere, they say, you guys whine so bad. Like, you know, or if you get somebody from Manhattan, they sound awesome. Or if we get somebody in from England, right? That's what makes Alistair, that's half of his anointing, Alistair Begg. He just sounds cool. I mean, he says everything that everyone else says. He just says it with an English accent, a Scottish accent. So he's, you know, he's just got this amazing thing going for him. If any of us do it, we'll look like a bunch of jerks, you know. So, but the speech, the dialect, you're a Galilean. You're from up north. You're uneducated. You look different. You dress different. You're not fashion-y, and you're not decked out, and you're not, you know, slick. You're not, it's like coming up from upstate New York going down to Manhattan. It gives it away. Look at your apparel. Look how you're dressed. Like you haven't combed your hair. You know, you look a mess here, and you don't speak like we speak. You are a Galilean. We know for a fact. Your speech gives it away. And then verse 71, it says that Peter began to curse and to swear. And anyone who says that he's starting to cuss, they're wrong. Number one, there aren't even cuss words in the Hebrew language. Any cuss words that have come to the Jews have come through Arabic, actually. Or they use English swear words. We got a lot. The language does not indicate that he starts to descend so low that he starts to drop, like, curses. And I think that that's a thing that we make a bigger deal than even God does. He does something worse than that. He swears by God. Jesus said, and he fails there too, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Peter, he not only doesn't do that, he says, he swears, what that is there is he basically says, I'll be damned. Like, God eternally damn me. That's what he says. Watch this. He goes like this. Let me be anathema. That's the language. That's what Paul said of a person who preaches another gospel other than the gospel I give to you. Peter's so audacious in his sin here. Sin makes you stupid. If you didn't take any notes tonight, write that one down. Sin makes you stupid. That's my message in a phrase. Sin makes you stupid. And here he is, and he's saying, I swear to God, God, maybe even looked up, God, strike me dead. Let my soul go to hell. I mean, that's what he's saying here. Let me perish. And then look how sad this is here. I know not. He doesn't say Jesus. He can't even say his name. He says this man. Ugh, that's brutal. from following Jesus to saying, this man, that nonchalant Lord, he's just this man. God help us. I don't know this man. And what was this like the second time, verse 72, the cock crew? And look what it tells us here. And Peter called to mind the word, not, listen, it wasn't the rooster's voice, it was Jesus' voice. He called to mind the words of Jesus that said unto him before he did what he did. Before the cock crowed twice, Jesus said, you will deny me three times. And you know what Luke tells us? As the cock was crowing, Jesus turns and he looks at him. And Peter dramatically runs out and weeps bitterly. The same phrase that Luke uses of this instance when it says that Jesus beheld him is the same phrase that is used in John's gospel when Jesus found him. When Andrew, his brother, brought him to Jesus, it says that he beheld him. Your name is Simon? No more. It's going to be Peter. And he looked down into him, is the word. He looks at him the same way, with the same eyes, as he did in the beginning when he called him in the midst of his greatest failing. And if you think that he looked at him with these eyes of like, I told you, you're wrong. I think that he looked at him with eyes of like, I told you and it's okay. I'm coming to you first. I mean, when that angel gives the announcement to everybody else, I'm going to say, go tell the apostles and Peter. And I'm going to restore you. I know that you were at the fire. I know that you were under fire. But Peter, when I'm done with you, you're going to be on fire. And the gates of hell will not prevail against your ministry. And you know, I probably said something moments ago that some of you that listened real intently might have disagreed with, that Peter's faith didn't fail. But I'm going to stand with it. I'm going to stay by what I said, because I mean that his faith didn't fail. You don't change gods when you. David didn't change gods when he had sex with Bathsheba. And I don't know how technical Ted-ish you want to be here and say, well, in that moment he was his own god. Well, I understand that, but he didn't become an idolater. He didn't like sign up for a new religion. He didn't stop loving God. Do you stop loving God when you sin? When we do the same thing he did. When we enter into sin, we're denying Jesus the same way. We don't not love him anymore or not believe that he's the way, the truth, and life anymore. We're just dust, man. And we just fail. We just mess up. And, you know, the Lord looks at him with this look of like, I'm looking at you the same way that I looked at you in the beginning, because when I called you despite you. I called you despite your failings. I called you knowing your failings. The only one that's so shocked right now, Peter, is you. I got to believe that his bloodstained face, that's the only expression that he gave. Peter, I'm not mad at you. When I give you my closing remarks before I ascend back to heaven, and don't you like people's last words? First words and last words, those matter, right? You know what the Lord's last words were to the guys before he goes back up? Tarry here. Wait here before you go and do the baptizing and the preaching. Wait here until you are endued with power from on high. Because if you try to do it before you have the Spirit, you are going to be frustrated and you are going to be a failure. So wait here in Jerusalem, tarry here till the Spirit of God is poured out. 40 days later, the Spirit of God is poured out and Peter's a new man. He's not bowing out in front of a bunch of schoolgirls. He's standing up and proclaiming to the thousands, to the masses, Jesus is the truth. He's the way. He's the only one to follow after. So the game changer there is the Holy Spirit. So the Lord is saying, apart from the Holy Spirit, you seriously can do nothing. And I know we all go, yes, I know. Yes, I know. But he's saying, no, I'm really serious. You can do nothing. And we are the only ones who are shocked by our shortcomings. We are the only ones who are like, I can't believe I went down in this way. He just told me. It was just preached at Sunday service. It was just preached at Wednesday night. And Jesus looks at him like, I knew it when I called you. And I even told you that you were going to do this. I even told you that you were going to do this. But I got to believe those eyes of grace, which is a scandal, looked at him and grabbed a hold of him in such a way where it was like this. It's okay. Failing is part of the process. He makes beauty from ashes. He redeems the time, the years that are waste and eaten by the locusts and years of destruction. That's what he does like that. He gives it back and he blesses it. It's okay. Christian perfection isn't predicated upon performance. It's predicated upon relationship with him. There just must have been, it's okay. And it tells us that Peter left the space that night and he went out and he wept bitterly. It's the same phrase that's used when you're at a funeral service and you're wailing. He wasn't just like he shed a tear. He was like convulsing. He was devastated by his deeds. But the Lord is so good. Because in John 21, breakfast on the beach. Remember the guys, Peter says, I go fishing. I'm done. And the guys all follow him. And they're out there on the boat, and they're casting their nets, and they're not catching anything. And then Jesus comes to the shore, and he's got a fire going and fish grilling. He says, hey, guys, cast your nets to the other side. And they're so like, oh, I don't even know who this guy is, but why not? What else? We might as well. We've been doing terrible anyways. And they drop their nets to the other side, and the catch was so great that their nets begin to rip. And Peter rips off his robe, dives into the water, and swims to shore and runs to Jesus. And Jesus says, Peter, I got a question for you. Do you love me? And Peter says, oh, yes, Lord, I love you. And the Lord says, all right, I got another question for you. Peter, do you love me, love me? Peter said, Lord, I love you, love you. One more question. Third time's a charm. Peter, do you really, really, really love me? Lord, I really, really, really love you. And I wonder if the Lord winked at him like, there's your three times back. You denied me three times. You just reaffirmed your love for me three times. Now go get busy. I just wonder. Because the scholars tell us that the children were so nasty to Peter after this day that when he would come around, even years after his denial, they would make the rooster noise when Peter would walk around. And they would flap their arms and taunt him. And he would need that reminder that in front of the other men, Jesus reinstated him and said, now feed my lambs, feed my sheep, build my kingdom. Come on, build my kingdom. Go get busy. I'm not shocked by your family. You're shocked. But where sin abounds, grace them.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.